This is Tony Alama, your pastor, and in the last tape I prayed that God would anoint the book of Ruth, chapter 4, 22 verses, and then the Lord moved on me to do a tape on the revelations that he gave me in regard to the body of Christ, the church, the bride, and the mystery of how a man and wife in the Lord are similar to the Church of God, Church of Christ, with Christ himself. This is like a holy communion, how the sin for people to take the marriage vows lightly or to be married outside the Lord. When a woman is... It's all right for a person to be a sinner before they get saved, but after they're saved and they're professing to be Christians, they cannot any longer be the same creature that they were before, because we become new creatures, amen, in Christ Jesus. And if you're not a new creature, then don't say you're a Christian, because you're putting the Lord out to open shame, because you call yourself a Christian. You represent yourself as Christ being in you, and you're a dirty liar and a sinner and a flirt and a phony. And a person that tears down the house of God rather than build it up is slandering, nosy, backbiter, false accusers, all the other things that the Lord through his servants say that a person of the Lord is not like. And so in the last tape also I mentioned how that the Lord didn't come to save the righteous, he came to save sinners. So you have to be real bad to be saved. Otherwise, if you don't know that you're a sinner, you won't be convicted of your sins, and you won't want to repent of your sins, because you'll figure, what sins have I done? I haven't committed any sins, and therefore I don't need Christ as a Savior. Self-righteous people don't believe that they need Christ. And you can't, there's no way that a person could get into the kingdom of heaven unless the Spirit of Christ is in you. And he won't come into you unless you confess your sins and ask the Lord to enter into you and to wash you with his blood, and then enter into you by the Spirit and resurrect you from your the death of Adam into the body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. So now we're going to do, we're going to start reading from the fourth chapter of Ruth, with the 22 verses and some commentary. And let's go.
Ruth chapter 4, Boaz marries Ruth.
Please, I remember the marriage vows, amen?
Amen.
This had to be a very holy marriage, otherwise the Messiah would not have come through it. Amen? Or even David and the Messiah. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there.
You know, a lot of people figure, well, you know, I'm a tramp of this or that, and so therefore, I can take any vows. There's no vows or anything like that. But if you're a Christian, if Christ came into you, you're a new creature, and you're not a bum like you think of yourself as, unless you've sinned so much since you've been saved, unless you just forget the things that you've learned from the Word of God. Word of God is the Apostle James said, it's like a mirror. We're to look into that mirror, and we're to let the reflection of it shine, cause us to be the reflection that's in that mirror, the Bible, the Word. Okay, the Apostle James states that the Bible is a mirror. And if we look in there and we don't see ourselves as the same way that the Word is, then the Bible is not our mirror. Because the reflection of Christ is supposed to reflect into us, and we're supposed to be like him. Okay? Because that's what he said, is on the last day, when we're taken up into the kingdom of heaven, Paul said, we don't know what we're going to be like when we get there, but we know we will be like him, because if we're like him here, we're going to be like him there. If you're like the devil down here, how do you expect, if the Lord takes the breath out of your body, and the Bible says that he's coming as a thief to get his bride, and like some of the virgins, the ones that were saved before, five of them were kept oil in their lamp, the Spirit of God in there, and then five of them didn't have the oil. They just started lusting after the things of the world. And when the Lord came as a thief in the night, those five virgins that were once virgins, that didn't have any oil in their lamps, were asking to borrow some of the Spirit from the other five. Come on, tell us some messages so that we can get right with the Lord, because he's coming very fast like a thief, just like that tsunami hit. And he said, no, we're not going to give you any. We wouldn't sell ye our souls. The bridegroom's here now. We're going with him. And you're out of luck. It isn't even luck. You're just out. You've been ruled out. And so, a person that was once a sinner and has been forgiven of all their sins and have become the bride of Christ, they should just cherish that so much and be so thankful and be so fearful of that which would happen to a person, you, if you fell away, that you would defend, you'd get the whole armor of God on so you could defend your soul, your spirit, so that when the bridegroom comes as the thief in the night, you're not going to be found without any oil in your lamp. Now, the Lord saves sinners, people that know they're sinners, because there's no way that a person can repent of their sins unless you know you're a sinner. So you have to confess your sins to the Lord and ask for the Lord, and to be very humble, to ask him to wash them away, and vow that you're going to continue on in his word to the end, till the end, so that you can be called his disciple, and so that he will remain living in you. The Lord is not going to live in a body that is lusting or committing sin all day long. He's not going to let you have Satan as the Lord's roommate. He won't room in you if the devil's in you. If you're of the devil, then you're of the devil. You can say, well, I'm of the devil and also the Lord. No. The Lord, you say, says you can only have one master. You'll either love the Lord and hate Satan, the devil, or you'll love the devil and hate the Lord. And you just you like the things that the Lord provides for you. I mean, a nice comfortable house in this church, and an automobile, and if you get sick, it's taken care of, and plenty of food, and the sumptuous life that the Lord provides for here at this church. But you don't want to keep his commandments. You've fallen away, you become the temple of Satan. Now, God made we humans in his image and likeness, and never ever wanted us to be the temple of Satan. He doesn't even want us to be the temple of self. It has to be the temple of the Lord. And so how much less the temple where a liar dwells, or the temple where some lustful, evil, wicked whore of a demon lives, or a pimp, or somebody that is exalting pimp, being a pimp, or a prostitute, or an adulteress, or an adulterer. God never gave us life to live for Satan. Life is given to us to live for the Lord, so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. and to have heaven here on earth and have it eternally. Because God cannot die. God is a spirit. And so when the spirit of God that cannot die mingles himself, that spirit that cannot die, with your mortal spirit, it gives your mortal spirit eternal life, immortality. But if you invite Satan back into your spirit, if your spirit is, you allow it to be run by Satan, then there remains no more forgiveness for your sins, because the Lord has delivered you from Satan and has allowed you to call yourself a son of God. And so therefore you must deny yourself the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Take up the cross and deny yourself daily and follow the Lord's word so that you can be called his disciple and spend eternity with him. Now, let's read the header here on Ruth chapter 4, because I could just keep going on this subject here for another, I'm sure, month without even stopping, if I didn't need to stop for food and rest. Let's go.
Boaz marries Ruth. King James Version, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsmen of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Translation, verse 1. So Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there.
Now see, all the business of the town, it's like the town gate was like the city hall is today. You know, all the city business is done there, and all the elders are there, and they discuss things that need to be done in the city, around town. And that's what they do there. And they see the new people that are entering into town. They want to know what their business is there and so on, because that's just the way, you know, even the government has the Chamber of Commerce, where you can go and find out what kind of business they need in the town. And you come in there to open up a car lot, and they'll tell you, well, we got already about 100 car lots in town. We don't need another car lot. What we need is another something, a gas station or another donut shop or something. You know, not another car lot. And that's what the Chamber of Commerce. So you go to the city hall there, and that's what he was doing, sitting out there in the city hall. They were all going there, and he's going to tell them about the business of marriage, because it's part, they were God's chosen people back then, and they were going to talk about the business of doing things properly in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? Then what?
When the family redeemer had mentioned...
That's not at all like they do at City Hall today. They're talking about something quite different. How are we going to get the Bible out of school? How are we going to get rid of God and God's people? How are we going to foreclose on God's people's properties? And how are we going to do this and that, harass the people of the Lord? How are we not going to turn their lights on? Like, for instance, in Los Angeles, they wouldn't let us turn our lights on for 10 years. So that's what City Hall is all about today, because it's Satan's government according to God. You want to believe something else? Well, then, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's not in you. And what else?
When the family redeemer he had mentioned came by.
And who is our redeemer?
The Lord.
Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he's coming there to redeem the family, to keep it going, the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Boaz called out to him, quote, come over here, friend, I want to talk to you, unquote. So they sat down together. King James Version, verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here.
See, and that's where the elders of the city are. It's like the office of the mayor. Amen?
Amen.
Then once they got 10 people, officers of the city, right, or whatever. What does it say again?
And he took 10 men of the elders of the city
and said. The elders, yeah, the officers. Then what else?
sit ye down here. And they sat down.
Okay.
Translation, verse 2. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and
leaders,
asked
them. City council, right?
Yes.
Elders are leaders. Not young people. The elders are the leaders. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because we have the experience. Okay, I'm glad I'm not a young pup anymore or a toy boy anymore. I'm an elder, a leader. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm over that snot-nosed period of my life. Then what else?
Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. King James Version, verse 3. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. Verse 4. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people.
Right, the first of the kin, the closest of the kin, gets the right to buy the property of the next of kin, or they can refuse it, and if not, it goes to the next in line. And then you can also marry the wife, or you can just say no, let her spit in your shoe or in your face, and then just stir it around a little bit. Or just go on to somebody, to the next of kin, amen, until somebody goes for it. And then what else?
If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it.
If you will. Okay, if you do, then do it. Buy it. Then what else?
But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it.
Okay, next.
Translation, verse 3 through 4. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, quote, you know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Verse 4. I thought that I should speak to you about it, so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it. To redeem it after you, unquote. The man replied, quote, all right, I'll redeem it, unquote.
So I'll buy it. I'll buy the land. Okay, now what about the girl? Okay, then what? Go ahead.
King James Version, verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
Oh, that's a different deal here. Okay.
Translation, verse 5. Then Boaz told him, quote, of course your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. Mm. That way, she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family, unquote.
Okay, then next.
King James Version, verse 6.
See, they did everything according to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The government doesn't get it. It belongs to families. Now, the government owns all the land now. If you don't think it does, try not to pay your taxes and see what happens. They'll come and repossess your land. Amen?
Amen.
And if you own land, you got to pay taxes on it because it's not yours. It's theirs. If it were yours, you wouldn't have to pay tax on your own land. Right? So that again shows that it's Satan's government. You don't own anything except your soul, and you best take care of it. And then what else?
King James Version, verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Translation, verse 6, quote, then I can't redeem it, unquote, the family redeemer replied, quote, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it, unquote. King James Version, verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel.
OK, Okay, go ahead.
Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
See, he purchased her, right? Just like the Lord purchased us. Amen?
Amen.
And you, well, on the day that he purchases her, that isn't the day necessarily. I mean, if they're going to have a wedding, if they're going to do it properly, they're going to go through the formalities of it. They're going to have a party, a celebration, and it's going to take some time. Then they have to, of course, this is not a virgin. She was married before, all right? Okay, so it's different now with this. All right, go ahead.
Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem.
Now Rachel and Leah also had a handmaid each, and each one of them had children also by Jacob. And they also were the ones that brought forth Israel, the whole country of Israel. However, the handmaidens, everything that was born of them belonged to Rachel and Leah. That's the way it is. Everything that the servants, if a servant has a child or 10 children, they want to leave you, they can, but all the children have to stay. That's Jewish law. That's the law of God, okay? Back then. Okay? You don't like that? You don't like God, huh? God is the word, you know. So if you don't like that, you don't like God. And what are you going to do to God? You going to punch him in the nose? I don't think so. You do what he says. Whatever he says is holy, not what you think, okay? And then what else? So God believes in slavery. Amen? Paul said, I, Paul, the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
You're either a slave of the Lord or you're a slave of the devil. You're enslaved to the Lord or enslaved to the devil. But there's a good reward to be a slave of the Lord. You become one with him, and he's your brother, and he's your savior and Lord and your friend and everything else. But we still, if we have the will, we let him do what he will in us and through us. Amen?
Amen.
So that makes us a slave. But we decided to make him a slave. If we decide otherwise, then we've said we'll be the slave of Satan. You have to be a slave of somebody. So I'm glad I'm the slave of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Who are you the slave of? I'm asking you.
The Lord.
The Lord, okay. Did anyone not answer? Okay, go ahead. What else?
Verse 12. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Verse 14.
Yeah, so the ceremony is not that way after she's been married already. But we're talking about the bride that has never been the wife of another man. The bride, the virgin bride of the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. And the woman said unto Naomi, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Translation, verse 7 through 14. In those days it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. Verse 8. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, quote, "You buy the land," unquote. Verse 9. Then Boaz said to the leaders and to the crowd standing around, quote, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech and Chilion and Mahlon." Verse 10. "And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today," unquote. Verse 11. Then the leaders and all the people standing there replied, quote, "We are witnesses!" Exclamation mark. "May the Lord make the woman who is now coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended!" Exclamation mark. "May you be great in Ephratah and famous in Bethlehem." Verse 12. "And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah, the descendants of Boaz." Verse 13. "So Boaz married Ruth and took her home to live with him. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant and to give birth to a son." Verse 14. "And the women of the town said to Naomi, quote, Praise the Lord who has given you a family redeemer today! Exclamation mark. May he be famous in Israel." King James Version, verse 15. "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Verse 16. "And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it." Verse 17. "And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Verse 18. "Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron." Verse 19. "And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab." Verse 20. "And Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon." Verse 21. "And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed." Verse 22. "And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David."
Right, and Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah, and David was from the tribe of Judah. All right, and so that, well, okay, go ahead now, the translation.
Verse 15 through 22. "May this child restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you so much and who has been better to you than seven sons!" Exclamation mark. Verse 16. "Naomi took care of the baby and cared for him as if he were her own." Verse 17. The neighbor women said, quote, "Now at last Naomi has a son again!" Exclamation mark, unquote. And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David.
Why did Naomi name him instead of Ruth? Because it was her dead son that this seed was raised up after. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So, it wasn't it's the son of Boaz yet, but it was he raised that son up because to carry on the family name. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 18. "This is their family line beginning with their ancestor Perez. Now Perez was the father of Hezron." Verse 19. "Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab." Verse 20. "Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon." Verse 21. "Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed." Verse 22. "Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David."
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 4, the last chapter in the book of Ruth, with its 22 verses and the translation, and now with some commentary.
4 verse 1. Numerous Old Testament texts show the gate of the city as being a place where legal matters and issues of civil council took place. You can see that in 2 Samuel 15:2, 1 Kings 22:10, Amos 5:10.
In other words, it's like City Hall or the courthouse. And what?
As well as here in the 4th chapter, verse 1. 4 verse 2. A community's elders were endowed with the authority to confirm legal transactions and to exercise the role of contemporary judges in civil affairs. 4 verse 6. Ruin my own inheritance. Since the property would belong to any son born of Ruth, the relative refers to issues of commitment already within his own family. These would be confused by any obligations potentially altering procedures already in place. It is also possible that he simply could not afford the financial impact of securing the field and taking a bride at the same time. Also conceivable is the possibility that his response reflects racial prejudice, Ruth being a Moabitess, and also maybe he was not able to support the wife he had already, plus another wife, or perhaps he had more than one wife.
Right. So, and yeah, just I think he just lays it out the way he wanted, you know, because he just didn't want to, he was protecting his own inheritance. But he didn't trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You do the right thing. So he did have a wife, or many wives, and he was supposed to, it was the law for him to be a polygamist. Now, I know that just doesn't set well with the haters of the Word of God, but kablooey to yui tui, okay? Okay, then what?
4, verse 7 through 10. The author explains the cultural custom, which by the time of the book's likely inscription was no longer practiced. However, the use of a shoe or foot is not uncommon to demonstrate possession of authority. See Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 17, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, Psalm chapter 60, verse 8.
Maybe that's why when somebody gets the boot, that shows that the one that gives the boot is the authoritarian, right?
Right.
Okay, everyone else.
The surrender of the sandal symbolized the surrendering of all rights to what went with it. In this case, both the property and Ruth's hand in marriage. 4 verse 11 through 12. The witnesses to the transaction also offer their blessings. In effect, they congratulate Boaz on his marriage proposal. Chapter 4 verse 12. The reference to Tamar, Genesis chapter 38 verse 6 through 29, reminds us of yet another disadvantaged woman whose circumstance God's providence not only recovered, but who also became part of the Messiah's bloodline. See Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. 4, verse 13, quote, the Lord gave, unquote, may be more than a pious reference to God as life-giver. It may hint that Ruth seemed to be barren during the time of her marriage to Mahlon, 1, verse 4 through 5. Quote, went into her, unquote, is the common Old Testament term for sexual relations. 4 verse 14 through 17. The author describes what was probably the day of the child's presentation, Leviticus chapter 12, and the song of blessing by the older women of the community who had known Naomi before her loss and widowhood. They now revel with her in the complete reversal of her state. 4 verse 17. Obed means servant. 4 verse 18 through 22. Since this genealogy covers a span in excess of 600 years, it is likely that some names are omitted, not an unusual practice in biblical tradition. See Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17.
Right, a lot of the people that lived were not noteworthy, just like so many people today. They go to work, they pump gas, and we go home and turn on the television, and there's nothing unusual about their lifestyle. It's just nothing worth mentioning. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody that is works as a waitress and comes home and treats her corns. Of course, most people don't know about that. They've never been a waitress before. But they get corns all over their feet. Okay, then what else?
That the book concludes with the genealogy rather than with the dramatic flair should not puzzle us. It lends strong support to the proposition that the primary purpose of the Book of Ruth is to provide a historical base for the family background of David, from whose line the Messiah Redeemer would come. 4 verse 15. Restorer in Hebrew is Shuv, S-H-U-V, Strong's Concordance number 7725. To turn back, turn, restore, bring back, retrieve, reverse. Shuv appears more than 1,000 times in the Old Testament. In the King James Version, Shuv was translated in more than 60 different ways. Its usual sense is, quote, return, unquote, Exodus 4, verse 19. That is, to go back to a point of departure. In a spiritual sense, it can mean to, quote, turn away, unquote, from God, Numbers chapter 14, verse 43, or to, quote, repent, unquote, to turn away from one's sin and toward God, Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Keys to Godly Relationships. Ruth is replete with principles of righteous and godly relationships. Ruth is a supreme example of someone who prioritizes personal relationships. She exemplifies loyalty, servanthood, diligence, and moral righteousness. Much grief can be avoided when we learn to relate to one another in love and understand what this really implies about our relationships. Guidance for growing in godliness. Hospitality means showing kindness and generosity to strangers. Most will treat friends well, but godly persons treat strangers as they would treat friends. Keys to relating to authority. Proper relationship to authority is characteristic of godly people. Faithful, loving obedience is a key characteristic of such a right response to authority. 1 verse 10. Do not make commitments too hastily. Wait until you understand the full implications of any commitment you make to another. 1 verse 16. Practice loyalty and understand that a loyal person prioritizes his relationships over personal advantage or comfort. Do not back out of a commitment you make to a friend, even if it means personal sacrifice. 2 verse 2. Learn servanthood. Know that God calls us to serve those we love. Believe that God will honor those with a servant's heart. 2 verse 8. Practice hospitality to strangers. Do not withhold blessings from those unfamiliar to you. Know that God rewards and honors such unselfishness. 3 verse 5. Obey legitimate authority. Believe that God will bless such obedience in ways you cannot expect.
Legitimate authority means the authority of the Lord, the ministers, the true ministers. 99 and 9/10% of the ministers today are not ministers of the Lord. But I'm talking about the highly chosen and called. Called and chosen, highly chosen. Obey them. Okay, then what else?
4 verse 1 through 10. As we watch Boaz negotiate, it is clear that he was a wise and shrewd man. He did not lie or manipulate the circumstances, though he clearly sought a specific outcome. Boaz wisely anticipated the greedy response of Naomi's closer kinsman. This other man wanted the inheritance of Ruth's dead husband, but had no desire to care for Ruth or to father her children and care for them.
It's like the people today, right? Then what? They don't want to take the responsibility. Then what?
When faced with the facts, he saw that the economic advantages of taking Ruth's case were limited, possibly even detrimental. He did not want to be held accountable to God's law and the economic loss it might entail. We must be careful not only to seek the advantages in our relationships, but also to accept the responsibilities. Like Boaz, we need to seek what is best for the people close to us. 4 verse 18 through 22. Hidden in this family tree is powerful evidence that God uses fallible people to bring about his good will.
There's still three more pages, so don't get antsy. You'll be here for a few more minutes. Then what?
Perez was the first of David's ancestors mentioned. He was the illegitimate son of Judah and his daughter-in-law Tamar. Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 through 30. Boaz was the son of Salmon, whose wife was Rahab, a prostitute from Jericho. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 24. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Ruth was a foreigner from Moab, not even one of God's chosen people. God used these people, far from ideal according to human standards, to produce Israel's greatest king, which was David, and the world's only Savior, Jesus Christ.
God takes the sinner and makes saints out of them. Amen?
Amen.
But you have to admit that you're a sinner before you can be forgiven. If you unsaved people... That's why I tell people that are Christians, they go out there and tell them, you have to do this, and you have to not commit adultery and fornication. So they have no power of God in them to do that, and so you shouldn't do that. You should just tell them to get saved first and have this power of God in them. And then after the power of God enters into them and they're forgiven of their sins, and then you have to tell them that if you have to go and sin no more, you have to take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow the Lord. And if you don't, well, seven more devils worse than the one that was cast out of you is going to enter into you. And you're not going to be called the Lord's disciple, and you're not married to him, and you've got spots and blemishes all over your spirit, all over your soul, and you're not going to get to go to heaven. You're going to burn in a fiery hell. And so it's very important for you to put on the full armor of God so that you are able to get rid of these fiery temptations that come to you, these fiery darts that Satan throws at you all day long. You've got to have the shield of faith. You've got to fight with the sword. You're in a war against Satan. He's the most cunning foe that could ever be imagined. He has over 7,000 years experience on you, and he will destroy you if you don't do what the Lord says. If you do what the Lord says, he cannot destroy you, but if you don't, he will surely destroy you. You must take up the cross and follow the Lord. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to look upward whenever temptation comes and praise and thank the Lord that he's given you the power to not yield unto temptation. Amen?
Amen.
You have to step aside and let it go by just like a roaring lion. And a lot of people say that Satan is in hell now and bound. No, he isn't. The devil is bound if we, by the word of God, bind him. The way we bind him is to do what the Lord says and to stay up before the Lord and to flee from the very appearance of evil. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you have to do. And rebuke. Reprove. Temptation comes your way, just get up to the throne. That's the perfect way to get rid of it. Just run into the arms of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Where safety is. Under his wing. Yeah?
Amen.
A coyote comes to grab one of the little chickens, and the chicken runs into the hen house and gets underneath the mother's wing. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what you'll do with the Lord. You run under his wing, and you're safe there. Amen?
Amen.
In the temple of God. The Bible says that, you know, a lot of people expect there's mansions over in the kingdom of heaven. There's the temple of God. That's where we are, the temple of God. And the place where the Lord has provided for us. He's prepared a place for us there. But right here, we are the house of God, the temple of God. Remember that. Amen?
Amen.
And you must not allow Satan to enter into it. Because if you do, you'll be part of the great falling away that happens just before the Lord comes back. So hold on, hang on to the Lord. with all your might, because you only have a few more hours, a few more minutes or seconds till he comes back. We're at the end of time. The falling away is here, and the devil has set himself up in the temple of God. Many people, many members of that were once the temple of God are now the temples of Satan. Amen. Where the devil lives, and they become the corporate body of the devil, of Satan, the Antichrist. Okay, let's go.
Knowing this truth should give us hope. No matter what we've done in the past or how we've lived in the past, God can use us significantly if we are willing to get saved, get the Spirit of God in us, and continue doing the will of the Lord, to put ourselves in His hands, to walk by the Spirit.
Right, this is, the Lord takes sheepherders, old Saul, King Saul, and a sheepherder like David, and made them kings. He'd take somebody that delivers papers and was a shoeshine boy, worked as a short order cook, and make him a king and ruler over everybody. All right? He takes the poverty-stricken one or somebody that's been raised in the ghetto and puts them on top of the heap, on top of the mountain, and he takes somebody that's on top of the mountain and throws them down onto the dung pot, dung heap. Amen?
Amen.
You could be a shoeshine boy, a boot black, just any kind of person. And don't be thinking of yourself as, man, I've never been anything, my family is nothing. And you join the family of God. You get into the body of Christ, the temple of God, and let Him use you as His temple, and let Him do with you what He will. And you'll be surprised what He can do. I had no idea that God would use me to get the gospel out all over the world. I had no idea that He'd make me over these churches, or that He would make me a principal over all these schools, and over the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools, and have a huge television program, and all the different things that He's done, and to put out all the multitude of literature, and to preach the gospel. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, it didn't even enter my mind. Never even wished for such a thing as this. And there are evangelists that have said the same thing, that have done incredible work for the Lord all over the world. And they just said, God, they were just happy they were saved. I was too. But then all of a sudden, just one thing led to another, and the Lord just kept building His Spirit up in me, and He kept pointing me in all these different directions. And I said, whoa, I mean, Lord, You're going so fast, it's like a whirlwind. It just seems like it was yesterday that I was saved. It's over about 40 years ago now. Or over 40 years ago. That was since 1964, and now it's already 2005. And I've had all kinds of persecution, but I'm still consider myself on top of the mountain. And what is the mountain? I heard him say, well, you know, it's this and that, but the mountain is the nation of God. Okay, so He put you in charge of the nation of God. I'm feeding all these other pastors, and if through the things that the Lord has told me, and molded and formed the very things that a lot of them are saying on national television, saves us the money, amen?
Yeah.
I don't mind it, but if they just stop with their heresy, this is a very important message, this one, chapter 4, and also the tape before this one, powerful messages. Very, very supernaturally powerful. Okay, let's keep going.
Insight from the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6 through 22 shows us the painful beginning of the recovery process. In choosing to leave Moab, Naomi was admitting her powerlessness. She displayed brutal honesty as she advised her daughter-in-laws to return to their family's origin. Naomi knew that she would be unable to support them in the years ahead, but she also knew that in sending them away, she was dismissing her last vestige of support and security. As bleak as the situation was, Naomi was willing to summon the courage to build a new life. Too often, our desire for short-term security prevents us from stepping out in faith. We cling to the people and the things that help us feel secure. This, however, only keeps us from turning everything over to God. As a result, we often miss God's best for us. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, Naomi's plan to find a husband for her daughter-in-law may seem a little strange to people in this culture in the United States. However, it was based on a scriptural provision for the protection of widows, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 through 10. God had assigned the responsibility of caring for a widow to the dead husband's brothers or near relatives.
And today it's like sisters that their husbands die in the body of Christ can be married, if it's the Spirit of the Lord, to someone that is in the body of Christ, which is a brother. Amen?
Amen.
Or if a wife dies, the brother can get married to a sister. We're all brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Since Boaz was a near relative to Ruth's dead husband, he was bound by the law to do something to help her. Ruth trusted Naomi's advice. And
you're already getting a lot of trouble with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You're bound to. You got to do it. You have to do what the Lord says. You have to stop lusting. You have to stop lying. You're bound to not do that. Otherwise, you're not going to be a part of the body of Christ. You're not going to be a member of the temple of God. Because that's where we live, is in the temple of the Lord. And the Lord is the temple, and we are His body. We are the temple with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And we're the glory of God, because God gets glory for bringing forth all of these other sons and daughters of God. It gives glory to God that He had mercy on a bunch of urchins like ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Former paper boys and shoeshine boys, and people that mow lawns and shovel snow, and in the cold, and people that were just nothing but possible prostitutes, you know, whores, pimps. You can be saved, you know. The Lord came to save real bad people. You can't get saved unless you're real bad. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you're real bad, you know it. And you know that you're a sinner, and you know that you have to repent from your sins. Amen?
Amen?
And the Lord says, come just as you are. Don't try to, you know, clean yourself up first, because you don't have the power to do it. Just come as you are, you pimp, you whore, you lesbian, you homosexual. Come on. And let the Lord fill you with His power. Amen?
Amen.
He came for you, you sinner, you bad person, you. He didn't come for the righteous person, because the righteous persons are liars. Amen?
Amen?
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He'll take you as bad as you are, no matter how bad you are, and set you on top of the mountain of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
He'll clean you up and fill you with His Spirit and wash you in His blood, and you'll be a part of the nation of God. You'll be a member of the actual bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And what more could God do for you? Plus, you'll be an heir and a joint heir of everything that He owns. And He owns everything. Amen?
Amen.
So forget about what you was or what you are, and come unto the Lord just as you are, and claim the gift of immortality, eternal life, salvation, holiness, and get in now before it's too late. The falling away has already happened, and the devil is set down in the temple of God, and that's what was going to happen. That's what Paul said was going to happen just before He comes back to earth again, and that's one of the very last signs. And the mystery of God has been revealed, and that's just before the two witnesses get in now, because tomorrow may be too late. Tonight might be too late. Get in now. Okay, and pray now that the Lord will save your soul. Say the sinner's prayer on the back of one of my pieces of literature. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in Your precious blood. Fill me with Your Spirit. make me part of your body, the bride of Christ, and keep me holy. And I know that how to keep holy, because the mystery of God has been revealed, I can keep holy by reading your word and applying it to my life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Ruth trusted Naomi's advice and took another courageous step of faith and obedience, following God's program for rebuilding her life. God often provides direction for us in His Word, but that doesn't mean our life will automatically work out the way we want it to. We need to take steps of faith and obedience, following His plan for our recovery. As we see in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11 through 17, Ruth's and Naomi's recovery from loneliness and destitution ends happily. Naomi, who has lost her family, chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, had a family once again. Ruth, who had lost her husband and all hope of a prosperous future, chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, was given a husband, a son, and hope for the future. It is interesting to note that Ruth's sacrificial lifestyle brought recovery not only to herself and Naomi, but to all of us. Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed, and he became the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has provided the means for all of us to recover from our former destructive lives, which are the effects of sin. God caused us to repent of our former sins and to go and sin no more, and the Lord gives us the power to do that. He forgives all of our sins, and if we walk in the Spirit, we have more power than we can ever believe over sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, death, hell, and the grave.
Amen. Well, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. That's the last chapter, chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, 22 verses, the translation and commentary, plus all the other commentary that the Lord has given me. You know, the Lord's coming back to earth again real soon, so stay next to the Lord and keep Him in view at all times. You're living in the hour of temptation and you'll be all right. Things that don't tempt me. There's nothing in this world that tempts me. Nothing. Okay? It doesn't tempt me at all. Just like God had Ezekiel go into this wall where every filthy, rotten sin was being done. It didn't tempt Ezekiel. What it did was made him sick to his soul. And the Lord told him to prophesy against those people because of the wickedness that they were doing. And he says, don't worry about it. They're going to get angry at you. You're not going to receive it, but you better say it, because if you don't tell them, then the blood of their souls are going to be on your hand. But if you tell them, you're not required to make them do good, but you are required to tell them. And once you tell them, you're off the hook. You're not going to be blamed if they go to hell. Now, that's the way I feel about it. There's a lot of people that hate the idea because we're telling them about the Lord and what you must do. And I know they don't like it, but He told Ezekiel, and He tells us all, to make our face like flint, to just keep going into Him. Don't let Him cause you any dismay, or make Him, don't let them make you afraid, but be very courageous and bold. Tell them the way it is. Amen?
Yeah.
So concentrate on the Lord. Get out and keep witnessing and bring souls into the church so that the people of the Lord will feel like going to church and preaching to them, including, which I mean myself. Fill the church with sinners and I'll come in. Amen? Because that's what the Lord came to save. And if you don't go and get them, then you're a sinner. And you hear these tapes. You've been hearing me preaching and teaching now for about almost, some of you have been here 35 years. If you start slacking off, you're in big trouble. The Lord says in these last days for us to have zeal. Amen?
Amen.
To be vigilant and diligent about doing the first things, going back to your first love, winning souls. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now we're going into the book of 1 Samuel. And until chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, Lord bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.